Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all my dear friends. This is your spokesman with the plan, Clarence Cloverleaf, welcoming you to Cloverleaf Radio on the JIA Network. You can listen to our shows on close to 20 different streaming platforms, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Radio Public, and YouTube, to name a few. I've helped compile a list of our best guests since 2008, and those interviews have been scattered about the cloud, as they say. Something I thought we only received rain from. Go figure. So, go find yourself a good one, and you can listen 24/7, 365, to guests from all genres of entertainment. You'll never know who could show up. Check out www.jianetwork.com. And now, on to the main event with your host, the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon, and, well, quite frankly, anyone as his guest. Enjoy the show!
Back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon, and joining us today is director, producer, composer, and about 35 other things involving entertainment, Christopher St. Booth. How's it going? All righty, now we should be back. I did my whole intro, and we weren't even talking to our special guest, but we are back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I am the host, the most, Jimmy Falcon, and joining us today is director, producer, composer, and probably 30 other things involving the entertainment industry, Christopher St. Booth.
Thank you very much for having me.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm actually in a vehicle. We're heading to a show, so the wife will be driving, and I'll be talking to you.
Well, I think sometimes it's good to leave the driving up to the wife because, I don't know about you, but I kind of get road rage sometimes the way people fly about on the interstate.
Well, you haven't seen Rachel drive. She's very road rageous. As she's screaming, I'm not.
Well, I guess starting off with, I was curious about your growing up. It had to be interesting growing up in Yorkshire. I know I have family from in the past, I guess the ancestors came over from England in the early 1900s. So I've always felt very great feelings for England and Scotland. So I was curious what your upbringing was like over there.
Well, the north of England is beautiful. I mean, that's where most of the castles are next to being in Wales and stuff. So it's a very, having a chance to go back after living in Los Angeles for 30 years, it really opens your eyes again as well. Like such a friendly, a beautiful, almost like a small town city, where everybody's very welcome and very nice about it. But I mean, I think the history is just the most ultimate incredible there. It really is.
Yeah, especially Yorkshire. You guys started the famous pudding.
It's my favorite, yeah. And everybody thinks it's pudding, but it's really not.
Well, I guess, pudding has different terms. And the Yorkshire Terrier is another namesake. But I'm sure there's a lot of things that I and others don't know about it because England has a lot of rich history involved.
Yeah, that's where the Yorkshire Ripper was. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Yorkshire Ripper, but Yorkshire Ripper is basically a copycat of Jack the Ripper, except Yorkshire Ripper used screwdrivers. And unfortunately, he did all his killings over in there and Yorkshire Moors. And of course, the town of York, If you've ever been to York, York is an incredible town where they do believe the Romans still haunt the outside of the wall to this day. It's still the only city that actually has a wall completely around it. So it's very beautiful.
Yeah, I've never been out of the United States. I've been to quite a few states, but never made the plunge over to jolly old England. I think it would be really awesome to try to do some genealogy and trace my roots, so to say, and get over there, because I think it has a lot to showcase.
Definitely.
And one thing I noticed when I was going through gathering up little promos for the flyer, you did a lot of composing for what I'll just call adult films back in the day. How did you get involved with that?
Well, I actually did more than that in some senses. Basically, to make a very long story short, being a musician, landing in Los Angeles and trying to make ends meet, we started playing all the nightclubs and all kinds of stuff. Because we were musicians and we were a rock and roll band, and we were doing all kinds of the Troubadour, Starwood, Whiskey Go Go, Viper Room, all the big venues down there. And in between that, we needed to make some money. So my brother was married to a girl's father that was into the adult business, and he was doing erotic Playboy films for Europe. And we needed extra money, so we started being like, you know, just like a production assistant on them. We would get the food, all that kind of stuff like that. And one thing led to another, and we started, you know, writing, producing, doing the costume and production design of them, as well as music. But these are the very high-end ones. Back in the day when they were about $250,000 each, there was actually a reason that you needed to have that kind of production. Nowadays, you know, as you know, the adult business is all, you know, hardcore and craziness like that. Back then it was very much like art. So we basically utilized that to stay alive while we were in between doing music. And then after a very long time, we didn't want to do it anymore. And we saved all the money up that we made, and we started making horror movies. And then that got us launched with, you know, Sony and Sci-Fi. And then we said goodbye to that. So it's kind of like a stepping stone.
Yeah, you made a good point. I think back in the day, especially in the 70s and 80s, adult films had what I guess you could call a story. There was a story arc to a film. There was important characters. It wasn't just get in, get out, so to say. It was more of a movie in production.
Well, back then, you had to have a story to be able to show that kind of content, because Playboy was just, they didn't even have their satellite channel back then. So you needed a reason, you know, for companies to distribute the film. There had to be a serious story in them. So we were hired to do the serious story part, whether it was bringing production value and sense like wardrobe. And, you know, we shot in castles and, you know, you would get the real characters, and whether it was a Western or whatever you were doing, it was like basically like a real movie, but had sex in it. And when the sex came, we basically walked off the set and let someone else direct that stuff. We weren't involved in that. But at the same time, you know, it was really a good stepping stone, because we had to literally put together two movies a month, and we did like 82 in a row. So
wow.
At that point, it was really, you know, a good crash course in filmmaking, because you had to do this. You had to get basically every angle any real movie would have, and you had to put the budgets together and the wardrobe and the location. So talk about, you know, guerrilla filmmaking at its finest in that sense. And then but we couldn't do it anymore, because it was getting more silly, so to speak, and we didn't want to be a part of it anymore, so we just left. But I don't have any regrets, because it really helped us, you know, learn, you know, the whole concept of production value. But it was, instead of doing it in a school, you actually were just doing it on a set. You were just really doing it. You were actually just filming. So we learned a lot.
And I'm curious, being that you do work with Philip so much and have for many years, have you ever found it hard? Has there really been any sibling rivalry, or have you ever tried? How has it been working so closely with him?
Well, I mean, like brothers, there's always fighting, And I think it was positive competitivity. Competitiveness. So to speak, it was positive because, he had to do something better than me and I had to do something better, but we're working on the same show. So it was all in the sake of the show. So it was actually worked out very well because when we went on a set, he would see the same thing that I would, so to speak, to improve something. And we wouldn't have to really talk. We'd just look at each other and we would know what we have to do in a second take or a third take or something because we were that much in tune. And him being more on the video side at that time and me being on the audio, and say the audio and the produce, and he was more filming and directing, it was a perfect combination. So it really wasn't, too, rivals, so to speak. It did work in hand in hand.
Well, that's very cool. I'm sure that there's, being that you guys have known each other your whole lives, there's got to be a lot of great camaraderie and a lot of great emotions there to be able to continue to work together. But, as you mentioned, I'm sure there is occasionally a hiccup, so to say.
Well, I mean, like any families, I mean, there is. But I think you need to know how to draw a line professionally. And if you can't do that, then obviously you see a lot of breakups, whether it's even in the Beatles or whatever. There comes a time when you can't do it anymore. But Phil and I still work together to this day, so that hasn't happened yet. No Yoko Ono yet.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. I was curious, of course, you helped off with the book The Exorcist Diary and did The Haunted Boy. How did you guys become involved with the whole Roland Doe exorcism story to begin with?
Well, we were shooting right after Death Tunnel, then came Spooked. After Spooked came Children of the Grave. They did so well that Sci-Fi wanted another show, and I said to our agent, we'll pitch them too at the same time. He goes, they'll never go for that, and they did. So they contracted us for two more shows. So that's kind of where we started filming Children of the Grave, and then actually The Possessed was filmed at the same time. And while we were filming The Possessed, we came across the diary of the exorcist, and I said it would be really cool to maybe do a story about the truth of what really happened. And then one thing fell to another. And then a couple of our friends and also teammates that worked on our other films lived in St. Louis, and they knew a lot about The Exorcist. Greg Myers and Sandy Oates knew a lot about that. And they helped us fill in all the pieces we needed to create The Exorcist file. And it just flowed. I mean, when you're working on something, it doesn't work. This one just was like butter. Everything fell in place. And, getting the right people, the real Exodus family, the real Exodus boys family, everything was right there, including the locations that he was in, the rectory, the church, the asylum, hospitals, and then the house. So it was really exciting. And, of course, I would never ever thought in 1974 when the film came out that we would be the first one to film the inside of the house and then do a paranormal investigation. So it was a very honor to be the first.
Yeah, it had to be very cool because, of course, it seems like some of the best horror works are based off of truth. And The Exorcist being, everything that goes into that with the psychology and spirits and even doing a full-fledged exorcism is being that it happened in the Midwest as well and in our own backyard, it really amazes me, the whole story behind it. It's fascinated for me for many years.
Very fascinating indeed.
And being that you guys have done so much work for Amazon, Redbox, NBC, Disney, and, of course, Spook Productions, many others, as far as networking goes to any aspiring people, either podcasting, doing pictures, magazines, or whatever it takes, what have been some of your best things you've learned as far as networking?
Well, I think it's important that, you know, you're out there and you're around people that are very, very positive. I think that's a very important issue to start with. And you don't want to be around people that are negative nannies, because it's going to be very hard to even, I mean, artists need cheerleaders all the time. You know, they really are. They, how they express their emotions is through their art. That's how they talk. It's how they communicate. So it's very important to be around people that believe in you and people that encourage you. So that would be a really good thought for the beginning of you, you know, obviously getting through it, is be around people that are supportive and get rid of anybody that is negative. I mean, just walk away and then try to meet as many people as you can in the industry and try to meet the people you admire. And one thing, don't listen to critics, because if you believe in something good, you're going to have to believe in something bad when they write that. So just believe in yourself and always try to do something different. That'll get you far ahead quicker if you do something really cool that's different.
Yeah, I think you have to have your own thing that you do. A lot of people copycat and try to, you know, fill in the dots to get up to the top the quickest. And I think, you know, if there's anything you love, especially being in the entertainment industry, you have to put a lot of work into it to get the best outcome.
Oh, indeed, indeed.
But wrapping up, you're, of course, going to be at Dark History and HorrorCon, and I see you do a lot of these conventions. Of course, you've done SoCon for the last number of years with us. So besides that, what does the future hold for you?
Well, we're on the road until mid-November. We're actually, next week is Ash Bash in Illinois at Ashmore Estates, which is a free admission. Philip will be joining us there, and I believe that's on the 8th to the 11th, I believe, this weekend. No, not the 8th to 11th. That's the 8th now. This weekend, whatever this weekend is, I don't have my book in front of me. Whatever this weekend is, we'll be at Ashmore Estates. And that's a free admission for people to come in, and it's going to be cool. The Ghost Brothers are there as well. And then after that, we're heading to Chicago Ghost Con for the weekend right after. So that's always a great show. And then after that, we do Dark City Con, which will be the first time I've ever done that show. So it will be interesting. And then, of course, after that, we do Paramill in Dundee, Michigan. We're going to the Parafest over there. And it's an old mill that's haunted, and I look forward to doing that. And then right after that, we're doing the Oddity and Curiosity show, which is in Atlanta, Georgia, which will have about 12,000 people there. So we're excited about doing that and sharing what we do with them. And then, of course, between that and after that, we're filming on your show, The Attached. So we're very busy.
Well, that's awesome. I think, you know, in a crazy world like we live in, you have to stay busy to keep your sanity and putting out great horror films and you know, getting out to these conventions, meeting people, and filling yourself with great spirits, as it were, is helpful.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we do. You know, we create and we keep having fun, and that's all. You can't do anything better than that, than have fun what you do.
Oh, absolutely. If anybody is interested in finding out more about you or even having you at a convention, where can they find you guys?
You can find me on Facebook, Christopher St. Booth on Facebook. We have a website, spooktv.com, which we sell the DVDs and autographed books. I've written quite a few books as well. And then you can find my books on Amazon, as well as you can find some of our titles on Amazon Prime. And Dead Still is playing on Sci-Fi Channel, which is our latest for sci-fi. And then also we're everywhere else. Destination America has The Exodus File. And so we're pretty much everywhere. Just type my name and you'll find me.
That is very cool. I look forward to seeing you again at Dark History in HorrorCon, and you and Rachel enjoy the rest of your guys' night. Drive safe.
Well, thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, if you joined us later or something, be sure and check out in about 15 minutes or so. Might be less than that. The archive will be up, and then, of course, in the coming days, it will be uploaded to JIANetwork.com, as well as our anchor, iHeartRadio, and numerous other platforms. We actually don't have anything currently scheduled, which amazes me because we've been flying steady for months now since May. We've been going nonstop. I do have some things in the fire, so to say, some people I'm discussing dates with, so I don't think that the free time will stay going for very long. I think we're going to have some more shows coming up. And, of course, check out DHHCon.com, of course, the 2019 Dark History and Horror Con, October 26th and 27th, 2019 at the City Center in Champaign, Illinois. Going to be nice seeing all my con family again, and of course, Christian Booth, Wyatt Ween, Bob Elmore, Scott L. Schwartz, John Borowski, a bunch of alumni and some past friends. It's going to be nice to see everyone, so can't wait for that. And of course, if you guys want to figure out what we're doing next, you can find JIA Network on Facebook. Or my personal page is facebook.com/theonlyhostedmost. We're also on Twitter at JIA Podcasting and all around the net. So be sure to check it out. And thank you guys, as always, for listening.